That's the way it is. Exactly. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. New creation, new birth. Someone was asking me the other day, can you go to heaven without being baptized? I said, yes, but you'll want to be if you get saved. But I tell you what, you can't get there without being born again. Thief on the cross got there, but he got born again. So you got to have the new birth. It's a new creation. It's not making old than old. It's a new birth. Born again. Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God. Would live it and abide it forever. Born again, you got eternal life abiding in you. You're not waiting to get it out yonder. It's already alive. Inside. The outward man's perishing. The inward man being renewed day by day. So body's wearing out. But that inner man is going to live forever. Thank God. Wonderful. That's a good hope, isn't it? And a good promise. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you, one of you. Appreciate you coming. Appreciate Brother Andrew and his wife being with us. And they've been coming for years now, and I thank God for it. I appreciate him coming. Keep coming. And we love him. Love the word he preaches. Always have. And he had to set me down a lot of different times and, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be, not the way you think. And, well, I see him over there. But anyway, he helped me when I surrendered to preach the gospel. And he kept on adding, said, we got the last United. Well, I said, we're going to have to ordain you. I said, still the preaching. And God began to open up doors. And somewhere every Sunday I was preaching. I can tell this on Carol. She's probably listening. But anyway, she started following me around. She said, I don't want to follow you around all these places. You go and preach. We preach in the places. We preach one Sunday. I preach at the church. It's almost ready to close the doors. And they weren't but, I mean, four or five people there. The church I went started pastoring, they was running 10 and 12. And that's just where God said go, and that's where I went. But, you know, guess what she did? She followed me everywhere I went. Yes? Even following me over there, and bless her heart, and where I was over, God helped, you know, bless us. Even following over there, and this is the truth, didn't have no air condition. I mean, you know, he said, what'd you do? We just preached. Yeah, you get pretty warm. And guess what? Didn't have no indoor bathrooms. Had them old kind behind. You say, I don't believe that. That's the truth. But you know, while we was there, God blessed us. We got running water. Didn't have no running water. She had to take water in jars for the young ones to drink. You say, what in the world? I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. When God calls you to do something, you can do it. Amen. And so, you know what? The Lord bless. He's still blessing. And I want to thank him for his goodness, his mercy. And he supplies every need according to his riches in glory. And God will provide where he guides, won't he? He sure will. We're happy to have Brother Enzer. And Miss Enzer with us. Come on, Brother Enzer, and preach to us.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you for liberating me.
And you don't have to put your watch up there. You know that.
I don't remember ever doing that here. Most places put one on the back wall for me. The last revival I was in last month, they had one on the back wall, but it had birds and flowers and stuff on it. I couldn't make a thing out of it. I didn't try real hard. But, you know, your pastor would have been the valedictorian for his class at Holmes County High School. And he would have graduated from Troy magna summa cum laude if they just taught anything he was interested in. He was interested in preaching the gospel when he got saved and called. He has amazed me as how bright he is. I never would have sat him down and tried to tell him anything if I'd have known just how smart he was. You've been blessed. And I want to thank you for letting me come and enjoy the sweet blessings that you enjoy every Sunday. This is my favorite week of the year. I look forward to it from the day I leave. I love Bonifay in Holmes County. I love Calvary Baptist Church. And I love your pastor more than anybody knows. I miss Miss Carol. But the best way we can remember her this week is to fill this sanctuary with praise, commitment to Jesus, salvation for sinners, and revival for Christians.
Yes,
I'm glad to see some guests with us, so I'm not exactly speaking to every one of you the same way. Sheer Jones and his wife and daughter are here with us. And I'll tell you, that was one of my favorite all-time ministers of music. Didn't have him very long, but he sure filled a need, and everybody loved him. I'm thankful he's drifted down to Florida today, and his family. But there are other guests. But for those of you who are not guests, I want to say a word or two of encouragement to you and ask you to look around this particular house of worship. It's been a place you've gathered for many years. And remember some of the good things the Lord has done in this place. Because you'll soon be moving into a new house of worship. But you keep the same name, Calvary. And you'll keep the same Bible. And you'll keep the same gospel. And you will still love one another. And you will still have compassion for the lost and the hurting. This will still be Calvary. It's a wonderful name that reminds us of the forgiving love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to put a little extra. By the way, this house is about full already. But I want you to put a little extra. We'll put some seats in here, and we'll tell Jimmy Jernigan to sit out there in the hall. Now, he'd probably have a heart attack because he's got his own place there where he's used to. But we would try to resuscitate him after service was over. We wouldn't want to bother with him till we got through. I want to ask you to invite 100 people, all of you, together, to come be with us night after night. Of course, that will ensure that you have to be here in case they come.
Yes, right.
And don't you get poochy-mouthed if they don't come.
Right.
Did you say poochy-mouthed? Yes. You know, that's a good thought. You cannot sing if you're poochy-mouthed. No use him coming if he's poochy-mouthed. You notice your singer today, though, is not poochy-mouthed. He's riding a white horse into here today, waving an orange and blue flag. I shouldn't have brought that up. Well, I hope there'll be some sequence to what we do this week. I didn't tell the Lord this directly, but he reads our minds, you know. When I felt that he wanted me to preach from the book of Genesis as much as I could, in this time that's short, I didn't say, Lord, that's unusual. I just felt it and thought it and tried not to communicate it directly to him. And I get here this morning, and Margaret has been teaching Genesis for nearly 2 months. So you all ought to be ready for what's coming. You see, we have a great and powerful God. Whether I can do a good job of exhibiting that, you'll have it right here in the first page of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1. I got to call this sermon two things: the creation, This is the creation. But we're going to narrow it a little bit to epochs of creation. I've had to learn over the years that you can't preach everything in a passage of Scripture. You have to find ways to present part of it. But epochs in creation, the verses that I want you to be sure you got in your minds are verses 1. We'll start with that one. And then we'll go to verse 21. And then we'll go to verse 27. Might read a little bit more of that. And I want you to pick out that one word, create or created, in each of those verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. May God bless his word to our needs today. And Father, I do pray for your blessings on your word, on the preacher and his effort to proclaim it. May thy Holy Spirit have him, enable him, strengthening him with body and mind, and above all, filling him with the Holy Spirit. And meet the needs, I pray, of these who've come here to worship you today. May we leave here closer to what you want us to be. Change our minds where we got things crooked and help us to get it straight. And your will be done. You be worshiped, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Epoch. Epoch is a period characterized by extraordinary events. Creation scientist, that's the best kind, use the words intelligent design. I like that. A wonderfully ordered universe and animals and people so intricately made calls for a being of reason, intelligence. I would prefer to call it myself not so much intelligent design, but omniscient design. God knows everything. I mean, all of you are intelligent. Some of us more than others, but all of us have some intelligence. But God has absolute intelligence. He is not limited in his knowledge or power. He's also omnipotent. If he were to make something from nothing and make it with perfect order, he had to have limitless intelligence and power. God knows everything. If you trace all the material stuff there is, all of it, as far back as you can, you come to two conclusions. One of two. This came from nothing, or someone with a capital S. Someone with limitless capacity, or from nothing with no capacity. Which did it come from? Yes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Since an epoch is a period characterized by extraordinary events, The creation must be the epoch of epochs. The Genesis creation story is majestic. 3,000 years ago, it was already an ancient writing. And in the 21st century, sophisticated people such as you are gather on Sundays to study it. Twice this morning, you see, proves the point. Yes. Evolutionary scientists turned to documents written thousands of years later to try to learn how it all happened. Back, they go looking for some possible explanation to determine how something came into existence from nothing. As to the creation of mankind, back to the slime of the river we're taken in search for the first living cell from which we all began. Follow that, and it will always take you back to a beginning which also had a beginning until at last, as G. Campbell Morgan put it, there's no place on which to step off. You'll find the word created three times in Genesis 1. Verse 1, 21, and 27. The word for create is bara. Bara means something came into existence from nothing. If you should say that's impossible, I might have to agree with you. Except that something does exist. A whole lot of things exist. Beginning at Bonifay, and extending in every direction for unquantifiable distances, stuff exists. Right. Things exist. Right. Impossible? Can't be utterly impossible, because they're here. Every child asks, where did God come from? They're beginning to think. Well, God did not come from. He's always been. He said, wow, that's something. I can't figure that out. You don't have to figure it out. Amen. Don't bother. Just better to believe and have it explained in heaven. Amen. Remember Hebrews 11:3? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Yes. So that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Nothing you see made all of this that is. We couldn't believe anything exists except that we are here and the earth under us is here. So, existence is real. We have to accept if existence is real of material things, then spiritual beings could exist as well. Right. Trees are growing, animals are roaming, fish are swimming.
Yes, sir.
Stuff exists. I believe. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Creator.
Yes.
Bara, create. Something from no pre-existing material is found in verse 1 relating to the creation of the heavens and the earth. An epoch. Bara is found in verse 21 as God created animal life, and again in verse 27 when He created human beings. Epoch 1 of creation. God created the heavens and the earth. From nothing, God made all the starry universe. And the next few verses show God developing what He had made. The work of creating the universe was, how do you say big and want it to sound big? How, we don't have words to deal with stuff like this. No earthling can quantify how big the universe is. We can only speak in terms that we know. Creation. What a sight to behold. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Lots of angels were all spiritual beings. No material thing existed. And then there was a big bang and voila. No. Then God the Son spoke. Now, I don't know if He spoke like a big bang or not. The book says He spoke, and the heavens and the earth came into being. Organized, magnificent, brilliant, beautiful. Not just the sun and the moon and the earth, not just the solar system. I guess I should have brought along the whole article so I could show it to you today. I thought I brought along a little piece of paper. It's a strip on the top of the article. I would tell you why I quit taking the USA Today, but I won't. That's a long story. But back when I was taking it, they had an article. My wife would probably tell you, because she'd tell you how radically conservative I am, and it wasn't about money. Believe that or not, she thinks it was. I'm pretty sure. But it had a long strip across the top and then a meaty article about it. By the way, all I know about astronomy is what I read in the newspaper, I guess I could say. This particular article in this little chart charts the journey of the long-distance Voyager that left Earth in 1977. The paper says, now you can tell me after church what a doubling in cosmic rays means. I bet there's somebody in here can do it. A doubling in cosmic rays hitting NASA's Voyager 1 may mean it has left the solar system and traveled into interstellar space more than 11 billion miles away. The chart contains these words. In 1977, Voyager launches from Kennedy Space Center. 1980, flyby of Saturn, 850 million miles away. 1989, past orbit of Pluto, 3.7 billion miles away. Can you imagine the sun so strong that it manages to hold a planet 3.7 billion miles away and keep it in its orbit as it goes around? Makes me think maybe we better pay attention to Colossians and that our Lord Jesus is holding it all together. Well, 2013, Voyager may have left the solar system, and they claim that would be 11 billion miles away. Now, by my simple mathematics, that would make the width of this solar system 22 billion miles wide. That's one star. The Bible talks about the stars being numberless, something like that. Yeah. That one little old star, the sun, with a tracking record of 22 billion miles wide, and look at the other stars that you can see. Right. I can't quantify that. I can just tell you, huge.
Yes.
God did a big deal when he made it. It takes Elohim, the Almighty, to build a universe like that. The scientists may not have meant to, but others are telling us that God did a huge job when he did that. I got real religious, if you may use that word, when I read that article. I don't know if any scientifically minded people did that. I hope I can find that other thing, because I need it for sure. If I can find it, that's part of it. Maybe that's all I need is part of it. But God not only made big stuff, but he made little stuff, intricate stuff. I'm not going to be able to find all of that. It's going to cause me to cry if I don't find it. It's in here somewhere. It's in the Bible. Not printed in the scriptures. I only got half of it. Well, let's see what I can do with it. My good friend Ray Williams used to have hummingbirds. Every time I see one, I think of Ray again. Lamar. But I didn't know they were such fascinating birds. But this article, I'll just give you what I can. Maybe the Lord doesn't want me to give you all of it. But I'm telling you, it gets better and better. A hummingbird beats its wings at about 80 strokes a second. It can fly an escape route at 50 miles per hour and can stop still in an instant. The hummingbird can hover, dart, fly backwards, fly straight up. Not bad for a bird that's about 3 inches long, weighs about 1/5 of an ounce, and has a wingspan of 4 inches. Now, from my memory, I'll have to tell you that bird sometimes travels 500 miles without stopping. And when he shows up where he's going, down in South America somewhere, I started to say, so give out. You see, I can't be formal all the time. There's a lot of Pike County in me and Holmes County. in me. He said, give out, you can walk up right up to that hummingbird, and he won't move a peg. Can you imagine that kind of fuel efficiency? Something doesn't even weigh an ounce, and he can fly 500 miles at 50 miles an hour. Whew. Jet planes need to learn about that. Well, God is involved in the creating of every bit of this, the epoch of creation. Let's go to number 2, verse 21, the creation of animal life. I'm using animal for all living, breathing, conscious creatures other than humans. I could have studied an hour and a half, and maybe I could have pleased one or two of you who wants to categorize animals and some things as something else. I ain't going to do that. Everything that breathes, everything that's conscious, all these, everything that's like an animal except human beings, was the creation of something distinct about animal life. Now you understand, bara is creating something else from nothing. So there was something made by God out of nothing that was different from the stuff that was already here. It did not come from the stuff that was already here. Something special about animal life. Well, here's this vast planet Earth, continent to continent, sea to shining sea with sky above, but there is nothing moving in the sky above or on the earth or in the sea. And God said, you can read that from Genesis 1, 20 and 21. Let us make man, I'm in the wrong place. God created great whales and every living creature. We read that to me before. God made these from nothing. He created them. That's a world changer. Seas and rivers crammed with fish and whales. Earth teeming with every imaginable animal. And overhead are fowls flying everywhere. That's an epoch. Notice God created every living creature that moveth. Living creatures containing the thought of that which breathes. Animals are not plants and animals are not people. Animals are a step up from plants and trees. Something new came into creation. Animals are conscious of themselves and their surroundings with all kinds of abilities that plants don't have. Fowls fly in the air. Tigers roam the earth. Fish swim in the sea. I stand amazed in the presence of our Lord the Creator and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. God made animals, blessed them, and set boundaries on them. Lessons are to be learned from God's creation of animals. One, all living, breathing creatures should be treated with dignity and responsible preservation. I didn't think I'd ever write a sermon that said anything like that. Because when a dog bites me, I have this urge to... Well, they're important. I start to say, kick him real hard. I wasn't going to cuss him. I wasn't going to say anything bad like that. I just feel like he needs some lessons in treating human beings who are superior to them better than he was treating me. Got no business biting me. I'm his superior. But they are important. Animals were sacrificed as temporary symbols of a price paid for the forgiveness of sin. That meant they had a noble purpose. Yet they did not come to the level of humans. The Old Testament firmly forbade human sacrifices. Sacrificing animals was inadequate since they had to be sacrificed year after year. Animals were shown to be important, not only by that, but by the offering of Cain and Abel. Plants didn't do. Abel's was a blood sacrifice of an animal. Animals were declared valuable by the protection God gave them in the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was to be kept, and you're supposed to let your animals rest. Exodus 20 and 10. I thought about that a little bit this morning, and I really had some sense of feelings about it, protecting our animals. And I figured some real Christian guy who said, well, I'm not supposed to work on Sunday, but I'll figure out a way to let my donkey get a hold of that cane mill, and he can walk all day long while I watch him in the cool shade. But God said, let him rest too. When you stop, let the animal rest. Animals were shown to have value by their inclusion in Noah's Ark. Take them all in and take enough in there so they can replenish the earth. Animals are valuable, but animals are not people. Remember, animals were sacrifices for people. Animals can be beasts of burden for people. Animals are sources of wonderful, healthy food. Now, you are allowed to eat animal flesh. And I want to tell you, it's all right with me if you don't eat it. I'm not going to insult you about that. My wife worries about me when I go over to the restaurant, the only one we have in Brantley, Alabama, and I get a vegetable plate. She thinks it's because it's a quarter cheaper than the one with meat. You can pick out which one of these you want to. But she makes as if, I think you ought to have some chicken with that. Well, I come home to get that, and it's costing me nothing. Janelle pays for that out of her grocery money. She could have a point there, but I really don't argue with you if you want to be a non-meat eater. But it's okay to eat meat if you want to now. We've been wonderfully liberated about that in the New Testament by the blood of Jesus, which was sacrificed for our sins. God's personal involvement in creating animals recorded on the first page of your Bible proves their value. Psalm 50, 10 and 11. For every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain. Whoo! And the wild beasts of the field are mine. Can you imagine God knows every bird up there? Yes, I can imagine it, sort of. God had omnipotence and omniscience. Animals grace the earth with their hardy and unique abilities. And God saw that it was very good. Genesis 1:25. And so glad God made animals. The world would be far less attractive if there were no bluebirds in the sky, no fish in the streams, no deer in the fields, and no squirrels in the trees. People love their animals. Sometimes too much. And sometimes too little. If you have them, be good to them. Be they commercial as cows, pigs, chickens, or be they pets. How do I say this without insulting somebody? I guess I can just say it like I feel it and let the chips fall. You are to take care of your pets, but they are not your grandchildren. Now, if you don't have any grandchildren, we have 12. Brother Ike has 96. And you are welcome on my part to help us look after our 12. You all pay me no mind about that, are you? If you can't come, you can pray. If you can't come, you can send money. Love your animals, but not too much. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. On the other hand, Proverbs 12:10 tells us, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. What a week this was in the epochs of creation. God created the heavens and the earth. God created all living creatures. But it's not the Sabbath yet, and God's still working. Here's the third one. God's crowning creation was the creation of humankind. I don't know if you're going to let that soak in or not, but your preacher believes this. Your preacher believes it, and the one that runs in here once a year and gets a hold of you believes it. It's a big deal when God made a human being. You say, whoa, bigger deal than making the universe? Which one of the stars can come to church and worry about lost people going to hell and pray for them? You are a creature made in the image of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. This preacher is glad God created animals and Adam, but much happier that he created Eve. Something distinctly new, greater and better is found in God's creation of mankind. Jot down Psalm 8, 3 to 8. It'll add a whole lot more than I can add in anything I might say. You see, another passage says, "For I have created him for my glory." You say, that sounds a little selfish of God. Sounds like to me God is pouring out his love on us. He's letting us get in on the best thing there is. We can glorify God. I created him. For my glory I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. God who created the moon and the stars put humans in charge of these living things and these non-living things.
Right.
Humankind have dominion over all the earth and its elements. Genesis 1, 26 and 28 and 30. People have dominion over all plant life. Verse 29, I have given you every herb bearing seed. And verses 26, 28, and 30 says something there like this. People have dominion over all living, breathing creatures. Fish, fowl, everything that's moving on the earth. People have dominion over all the earth, all the plants, all the animals, and all the earth. Genesis 1, 28. The Bible says, replenish the earth and subdue it. Back to scientists. You see, that's what makes science flourish in a Christian land.
Amen.
Now, I would say that Judaism and Christianity are science friendly. I'm not saying that science is always friendly to us, nor that we're always friendly to them. But the faith that Jesus gave us is science friendly. He gave us permission to explore, to subdue the earth, to find out what's in it that can help us live a better life. He had that in mind. If you were a Hindu, and you can't mess with a cow, because God's in that, I mean, that's your granddaddy or somebody. I don't want to get into that. But the fact is, God made all these animals, but he didn't put them in charge of the earth. Put human beings in charge of all of this. People, we're all filthy rich.
Amen.
And we're to take God's call to be good stewards of it and bring all its elements in the service of the human race. What a stewardship we have to make use of God's world for health and holy purposes. We're to handle Earth's rich resources in such a way that the planet is sustained for all future generations. This is our duty. Never forget, God owns it, and we are stewards.
Yes.
And the first fruits are His.
Yes.
Can I say this in a church like this, at a time when you're trying to build a church? The tithe is the Lord's.
Yes.
Now, do you reckon God needed that money? No. What did He do with it? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all His.
That's right.
He could make a squillion dollars that look just like the ones we're making now.
Yeah.
We could pile up the gold with no problems at all.
Right. That's right.
I think part of what that is God is trying to help us understand it's all mine, but you're my servant. You're my steward. I'm letting you be in charge of it, but you got to use it right. And if you come week after week bringing a tithe, that was the simplest way to do it. What if he'd have said a 12th or a 9th? Most of us couldn't figure that out. God simplifies things for us.
Amen.
Right. We didn't have ad machines when he gave this and stuff. Made it so easy. All you got to do is point off one point and put the dot somewhere else and you got it. God is so good to us. Only takes a tenth and he makes that easy for us. Anyway, I wasn't on to that much, but I would just tell you, there are other ways to be stewards besides that. You plow, plant, cultivate, gather, and preserve. And what you gather and protect, you should come back and improve the ground you planted. Harvest the wealth of resources. Do your best to preserve the earth as you do it. Protect as you extract. And when an accident happens, pipeline breaks, work with God, the great restorer, to restore what was damaged. Waste not what you harvest. Don't waste food or fuel. Drive to church. Drive to school. Drive to work. Don't drive to Biloxi. Make fuel-efficient cars. You are empowered to take care of your domain. And remember, people are created in the image of God. Yes. Let me read you what a really important scholar said, and then I'll tell you what Brother Ike and I, how we would put it, kind of. I don't know, Ike might put it just like this. I'm going to declare him now the unofficial valedictorian of Holmes County High School for the year of 1913. Charles Erdman said, by the image and likeness of God, don't you want to know what that means?
Yes.
Okay. Is indicated the mental and moral nature of man, his powers of reason and intelligence, his free will and self-consciousness, and his capacity for communion with God. That's about four or five things. I got seven. I've got to elaborate mine. I got to put it in our language. Number one, by the image and likeness of God, means people are persons. God is a person. God's personal.
Yes.
A person has free will. He can make choices. A person has intelligence. A person has emotion.
Yes.
So you are a person. People have moral capacity. People can submit to God and obey God. What a wonderful thing to be able to do. People can have fellowship with God. Praise Him. We get happy around here when we praise you. When they start playing the piano and the guitar and the organ over here, and I sense the Spirit of God is in this place, I have to watch out. I'll go Pentecostal. Never do for that to get back to Brantley. Oh, I start shouting, lifting both hands. Brother Hamp used to lift one. That's a Baptist way of lifting your hands. You lift one and you lower the other one. Later on, you lift the other one. Keep that one. Never two at a time. People can have fellowship with God, praise Him, meditate upon Him and His Word. We can pray. We can give thanks to Him, enjoy His presence, as in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. Number five, people can be forgiven by God. Since we have a moral capacity, we certainly will stumble and fall and fail, and you call it sin, if you will. But we can be forgiven by God. People can, number six, can live forever and share an inheritance from God. A man and a woman can join together and make other humans. You say, well, animals can make other animals. Don't think much till I get through. A man and a woman may join together and make other humans whom the Lord will light with the same image and likeness. John 1:9. Jesus came into the world, the scripture says. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Everybody gets that touch when there's conception. Wow. You can just keep making people made in the image of God, who created the universe and made animals, epochs in creation. God made the entire universe, living, moving creatures, overhead, underwater, and on the earth, finishing up with people made in His image. Think about that. And we can join Him in what He's still doing, or we can ignore Him. Sin and indifference get in the way of greatness. The way to get rid of sin is to see it for what it is and confess it. Leave it. And put your life, death, and eternity in God's hands. Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, I didn't find that verse and memorize it till I was so old. Proverbs 28:13. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. You don't want to cover your sin up. You want to get rid of them. You won't prosper. Now, you define prosperity in a lot of ways. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Yes.
This is the kind of God we serve. Jesus' crucifixion paved the way for you to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. Spend then your God-ordained life for your Creator.
Yes.
And if you've not been recreated, preach it unpreached about that. He covered some of my material. You'd been here even longer. He said you had to be born again. And then he quoted that young, wonderful verse that said, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. You know, when I'm quoting something like that, I know he'll know if I miss a word. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. That can happen to you. We mean all this. This is not, as they say, just preaching. This is truth from heaven.
Right.
Old things are passed away. Don't you want to get rid of all that trash that the devil remembers and keeps bringing up to you? And have such a life that God has pardoned it? And you're a new person. You're not the same. Bara. Something in you becomes brand spanking new.
Yes.
Made of something that God can make out of a sinner.
Amen.
By the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's bow together. And I know when I stand up here and look at this scripture that I'm sometimes overwhelmed with how little I am in the eyes of this great God. But He is not chosen for me to lose heart because I'm so small. He sees in me His image stamped there permanently. And He has come into my heart. When I was only 11 years old, I didn't know theology. But the Holy Spirit told me I was a sinner. And I was in bad shape if I died that way. And after I had a while to grieve about that and be scared to death, He pointed me to Jesus. And I rushed to Him. Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. And entrusted my life to Him. Since then, there are no ways to tell how many times I've come back to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I've been a poor creature. And when I've confessed my sin honestly to Him with a willingness to forsake it, He's put me back in fellowship with Him. Wherever you are, pre-conversion, not born again, or a stumbling, faltering Christian, the Creator didn't make you to throw you away. Talk to Him. He's not wandering around in outer space. Well, He is, but He's not wandering around. He's everywhere. We didn't mention that earlier, but there's no place God is not. Right now He's at the door of your heart, or He's in your heart. If He's in your heart and uncomfortable by your sins, ask Him to forgive you, clean you up. And if you haven't let Him in yet, invite Him in. Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life. And make my life what you want it to be. I'm ready, Jesus, to follow you. You'll have a great opportunity just momentarily in this church to come forward and speak to a pastor who is confirmed by a life of faithfulness to be a man of God. And share with him your commitment to Jesus. And He'll share it with the people. I pray, Father, unworthy though I be, for your ministry to every person here, for holiness in the lives of believers, and wholeness for those who are broken, and salvation for those who are not saved. For the glory of Jesus Christ, who did the dying and suffering for our sins. May the Holy Spirit take charge. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sing a closing hymn. as our brother comes.